right. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen? Are we enjoying His mercy today? I am. I don't know about you. I am. I'm singing His praises. Hallelujah. Because He lives in me. He lives in my heart. Amen. I'm having a wonderful time, and I'm not checking with flesh. Amen. I'm not checking with flesh. Flesh is real loud sometimes. It likes to take first place. You ever notice that? Has that ever come across your plate? Flesh likes to take first place. You know, especially when you come into church or whatever, you know. And we got here, me and Alex, you know, for a little while. You guys are the result of prayer. Praise that. We prayed you in.
We were praying for you.
We're praying you in here so you'd hear the word of God. Amen. So I said, Alex, go ahead. I called him. I was going to be a little behind, you know, running a little behind. And I said, Alex, go ahead, start. Start ahead. I mean, two or three people, start, you know. I got here and it's me and Alex. So we just prayed for a while. I said, well, maybe people are still on vacation. Alex said, I thought people were back for school and all back in the groove again. He said, well, maybe that's it. Maybe they're just
tired,
beat from going back to school. I said, okay, praise the Lord. Or getting grandkids or praying for grandkids or kids praying for not grandkids yet, but praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't He? Amen. He's good. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to sing. I want you to spend your days enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. First priority.
Amen.
Is the presence of the Lord. First priority. Because that'll set you free. That'll set you free for the rest of the day. That'll set you free for the, you know, we think Sunday will get you free for the week, but then you wake up on Monday and it seemed like Sunday was a week ago Monday morning. Amen? And that's how it was for me, is that Sunday was a week ago Monday morning. Because it's just like, you know, oh gosh, here's Monday morning. You put on your boxing gloves and, you know, you're ready to meet the world. But God doesn't want you to meet the world with boxing gloves. Amen? God wants you to meet the world with His love, with His mercy, with His glory. Because you are fully prepared. This isn't the message yet. This is just the Holy Ghost. You are prepared. You are fully prepared when you wake up out of bed. Because you have the living God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The problem is most of us, we forget that. Now, this is the core group. I mean, you know, this is the group that, you know, I don't preach this to, you know, because you know, y'all know this. And so we're just rehearsing. Amen? We're just rehearsing the fact that this is what we know. It's like Second Peter chapter 1 where he says, I'm going to rehearse these things to you until I'm dead. So that when I'm dead, you'll have them in your remembrance, even though you know them. So it's biblical to preach something that people already know. Because Peter said so. Amen. Well, God's good. Hallelujah. We're continuing in our Psalm 119. You know, you'd think, wow, aren't we getting tired of this? Well, yeah, I'm getting tired of it. It's just like the Lord said, no, do the whole thing. Preach the whole thing. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever done it before. Maybe Chuck Smith did it once, you know, when he was preaching through the Bible. Out there at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. You give him a byline. But it's important that we follow through. When the Holy Spirit gives you something to do, go ahead and follow through with it. Even though it doesn't seem like it's doing anything. Now, I'm not saying it's not doing anything. But you get... Sometimes, have you ever kind of felt like you were kind of doing something? And we'll get to the Apostles' Creed in just a minute. That you, it's almost like busy work. You know, and the Lord's just kind of got you treading water. But He's got you there. He's got you there. He's got you there. There's many instances in the scripture where it's kind of like, okay, God, you know, why, Moses, why you got me here on the backside of the desert between age 40 and age 80? What are we doing? Then about the time he hits 80, about 79 and a half, you know, or 80, he's all of a sudden finds this burning bush out way out there in the, what is that? So he goes out there, and he's not thinking that's God. He's thinking that bush is, man, something on fire out there in the backside of the property. Better go check on that. And so he did. He went and checked on it, but it turned out that God was calling him because he had been in the right place for all those years. He'd been in that place as long as God told him to be there, and then God met him. Amen? So always be ready for God to meet you. Even if it seems like a long time. Amen? Jesus had to wait till he was 30 to do any of his ministry. He had to wait till he was 30. He was probably raring to go at 20. Most preachers I know are raring to go at about 17. You know? But they're not ready. They have the Word of God, but they got it like a club. And they got it like something to beat people over the head with. But God's preparing you. Amen. Every single one of you. God is prepared and preparing you for the work that he has got written down for you. And he's using you today. But he's preparing you for the work that he has. And there's always a new work. There's always something ready. There's always something new that he's prepared for you to do. Amen. All right, let's read what we believe. You ought to have it memorized. Here's what I believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, that's us, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You believe in all that? We believe in that. That's us. That's who we are. That's the body of Christ. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. I believe. I believe. Father, today we just ask you to just solidify those things in our minds and our hearts as we open your word. We thank you, Father, for that the entrance of your word giveth light. And Lord God, we need some light. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to see what our path is. Because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because otherwise I'm walking in darkness. If it weren't for your word, I'd be walking in darkness. I'd be walking blind. So Father, I ask you to just demonstrate and show to us today your word and your promises that cause us to walk in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. For God is good. Psalm 119, verse 129. The section we're starting from today is called Pay. P-E. Very easy to spell. Pay. Again, one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 of them. So let's begin. It's verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Okay. So his testimonies, that's another rendition, another word for his word, his testimonies, his word, his statutes, his precepts, his judgments, his ways. Thy testimonies, so the testimonies of the Lord, the things that he has written down, the things that he has shown you are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. You remember the word keep is natsar. The word keep is to guard or to observe, to keep them always before you. All right? We've talked about that before over in 2 Peter chapter 1 again, that we put these things, we are partakers of the kingdom of heaven and of the promises of God. We have divine promises which cause us to, as we walk in them, and we diligently keep them before us. And that's what it is to keep something, is you diligently observe the Word of God. You diligently observe His commandments. You're diligently in His presence. It's something that His testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful, full of wonder. They're full of blessing. They're full of goodness. They're full of the power of God. So he says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul, interesting, my soul keeps them. My soul keeps them. Your soul gets to do one of two things. It gets to receive the Word of God, or it gets to reject the Word of God. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, the part of you that is either ruled by the world or ruled by the kingdom, or ruled by the Word of God, ruled by the Spirit of God. As many as the kingdom of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so you're being led by the Spirit of God because of His testimonies. Because your soul is keeping or keeping those things in front of you. So, we take the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Which is the one scripture I didn't write down today. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're changed. We're beholding we're beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is in His testimonies. His testimonies declare the glory of the Lord. And therefore my soul doth keep them. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17 through 24. Deuteronomy 6. If I've got the right... Nope, wrong one. Verse 17 out of Deuteronomy 6. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Again, that word keep. You got to remember the word keep. You got to remember the word keep, which is not do them, get it, do them, do obey those commands. Amen? Praise the Lord. You shall diligently keep. So, for instance, I'm going to take this little piece of paper here, and I'm going to give it to keep that. Don't lose it. It's very important and very valuable. Don't give it to your wife. Because you're going to need that when I ask for it. Keep that. You going to keep it? Okay. Make sure you know what it looks like. You don't want to give me the wrong piece of paper later. Okay. You observe that. You guard it. It's important. All right. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep, like Raul there is keep diligently keeping that piece of paper there. Diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He has commanded you. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Well, that's a promise, isn't it? You're keeping those. If you hold dear and hold guard and observe His testimonies, here's the result. You will do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Keep His word always before you, and you'll do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Well, do I have to work at it? No. No, it's just because His word is on the inside. It'll transform your inners. It'll transform your willer and your doer. Amen? It'll transform your willer and your doer if you keep the Word of God in front of you. Now, if you keep other things in front of you, those will transform you too into whatever that is and whatever that says. So that's verse 18, Deuteronomy 6:18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to cast out all the enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy son asks thee in the time to come, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. He brought us out so he could bring us in. He didn't just bring you out, but he brought you out with a purpose. He brought you out so that he could bring you in. Amen. He didn't just get you saved. Oh, good, I'm saved. Going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's awesome. No, he brought you out so he could also bring you in. So you're not only out, but you're in. As you meditate upon this word, as you keep that, as I gave that paper to Raul, he's keeping. He's keeping it. I could have just given him my Bible, but I need it to preach from. You know, that would probably been more definitive, you know, if I give you that and you just keep it, hold it, and you make sure it's valuable and treasure it and make it your own. Amen? Hallelujah. And then finally, verse 23, he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. So you worship. So you're not only brought out, but you're brought into the kingdom. And you're brought in by, as you're brought in, you learn everything. You learn all about it. When Daniel came into the kingdom of Babylon, he began to learn all about it. He became a young man who is a leader in that community. Amen? He became a young man that was a wise man because, first of all, he was filled with the Word of God. But as he came, he learned everything that had to do with the governance of Babylon. So he brought him out. God brought him out so he could bring him in and make him a leader. Amen? It's Joseph. God brought him out so he could bring him in. He brought you out so he could bring you in. So until you're in, he's not done. He's bringing you in. Hallelujah. He's bringing me in. I know every day he's bringing me in. Every day there's something brand new that he's got for me, and I'm enjoying it. To bring us in to the land which he sware unto our fathers. Verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, and for our good always. To fear the Lord for our good always. Fearing the Lord and meditating upon his testimonies is for our good always. It's never for our bad. It's never for our destruction. It's never for our to teach us a lesson as if it were, you know, a harsh lesson to be taught. It is to disciple and train us. It's for our good always, so that we might have the best. Walk in his divine joy and peace, and declare his word to everybody that we meet. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive. It's good to be preserved alive. Amen. He's wanting to preserve you alive, as it is this day. Hallelujah. And then over in 2 Chronicles, verse 30, chapter 34. Second Chronicles 34. When's the last time you were there? I just knew you were going to answer me. I knew Joe was there. Just this week. Praise the Lord. Then you know this one by heart. 34, verse 31. So long, I got to turn the page. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his command. There's the keep. Keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul. to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Hallelujah. So the king did that. So he made a covenant before the Lord to walk before the Lord, to keep his commandments. I like to keep using that word keep so you'll remember what it means. You know, to obey his commandments. By gum, I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it all. No, to keep them. To keep his commandments. I was amazed when I ever first looked up that word. The word keep, to keep his commandments. And that it meant to observe and to guard. And to. It's like a hold as valuable. To perceive this as the most valuable thing that you could have. Is to keep them in that way. Amen? It's powerful. So every time I read the word keep, I translate it in that way. Because it seems like we have certain words in our culture that are, or even in religion, that are interpreted by our minds in certain ways. And when we have to go back to the original, and sometimes you go back to the original language, it's not quite what you thought. It's not quite what you were taught. Amen? So I want to keep his word. I want to keep his word. I'm going to keep it. Say, I'm cleaning out my mom and dad's house. Am I going to throw that away or am I going to keep that? Why would I keep it? Because it has meaning and value. Why would I keep that? I would keep it because it has value to me. It is something important to me. So there's some things I throw away. Yeah. Some things I don't need. Things that they kept for years and years. And same things I keep. For years and years, and I haven't used things in 20 years that I've kept. Why would I keep what they've kept for 20 years that I should have thrown away that I had for 20 years? You got a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of living. There's a lot of living over the years and years. Amen? And some things you don't need, but you hid it away like you thought you'd need it. But his testimonies and his commands, we keep them, and his statutes with all my heart and with all my soul. The ones which are written in this book. Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep those who keep his covenant. And so mercy and truth come to me. They walk with me. Mercy and truth walk with me as I keep his commandments. That is, keep them before me. And this is all in my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. The things that my mind is being changed, as we remember in Romans chapter 12, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And Psalm 119, verse 2. Long time ago. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Verse 130, next verse of our... I got all these written down. I don't know why I'm changing, moving around in my Bible. Stay on my same location here. Hallelujah. The entrance of your word gives light. That's what that verse is. Psalm 119, verse 130. That's what that verse is. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. That's powerful. So, his word gives light. Where do we first hear, where do we first remember hearing that scripture? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him, that is the Word, was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. Now it's a hymn. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We'll get to the light a little bit later. But the entrance of thy word giveth light. So, We're in darkness, but the entrance of His Word gives light. So I want to get His Word on the inside of me day by day. Amen? I want His Word to give me light. His Word is transforming me and changing me. Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We've gone over that recently. Proverbs 8:5, wisdom says, O ye simple. See, this, the entrance of His Word is giving understanding to the simple. Wisdom says this, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. So, first of all, be simple. First of all, be simple, all right? You know, a lot of times there are folks who kind of feel like they've done enough in life to, well, I'm pretty sharp. I'm pretty well along. But always be simple. Humble yourself and be simple. When you come to the Word of God, always be simple. Always be humble before the Lord. Be ready to learn because you are not God. And God is always prepared with something to transform you, to change you, to get rid of sin on the inside of you. So make yourself simple. All right? Start out simple. Start out just reading the Word. Start out just reading the Word and let it speak to your heart. All right? That's what you do. Just open the Word of God. Let the Word of God have its effect and its power come upon you. Because the Word of God can transform an individual and a person before they're born again. That's why the entrance of His Word bringeth light. But the Word of God changes the Christian, changes the believer. The Word of God changes the believer. It comes on the inside of you. Paul, I believe, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, when he was born again on the road to Damascus, he was filled with the Word of God. He'd been filled with the Word of God for all of his life. He'd been filled with God's Word for his entire life. But the Holy Spirit touched the Word of God, and the result was the entirety of the New Testament. The result was the revelation that the Spirit of God produced. When the Word is planted and the Spirit of God touches it, revelation comes. So you go from being simple to having understanding. It's not something you do, it's something God does. And when I'm changed and transformed into the kingdom of God, I don't know anything. My soul is a blank. All my soul knows is what I knew before. But once the Word of God comes in, as we read, the entrance of His Word bringeth light, it gives understanding to the simple. It changes your understanding of everything. You don't have that if you don't have this. You don't have understanding of the kingdom of God without this Word. And you don't even have understanding once the Word is in you unless you have the Holy Spirit. Like Paul. Paul had tons of Word. Paul was the most learned Hebrew student, yet he knew nothing. He could not interpret the Scripture until the Holy Ghost came on the inside of him. Those of you who are born again, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. The Word of God immediately comes and transforms your soul. Transforms the inside, your mind, your will, your emotions. He's transforming you and He's changing you and causing you to be made new. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God, why don't you hurry up? Well, because I do it this way. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28:10. Jeremiah 15:16, you've heard me quote that one before. It says, your words were found, and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So again, Proverbs 8:5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Here's wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, that if you were to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place." What's that over there? A light that shines in a dark place. "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." So there's this word of prophecy, the word of God, the word that God produced and gave to you, that you do well to take heed to it. Because in the beginning it seems like it's just a little bitty, what is that over there? But then the day, as you meditate upon that, as you diligently perceive that, as you diligently take a look at that, like 2 Peter chapter 1 tells you to do with his promises, "until the day dawn." Oh, wow. Oh my. You begin to have revelation of what the love of God is and the word of God is and how much he has transformed and changed you. Amen? See, just wake up and thank him. And then you begin to become diligent. But just listen. Don't make a burden out of this thing. Avail yourself of a blessing. Avail yourself of the word of God. Avail yourself of a treasure. It's just a treasure that you happen to have on your bookshelf and in your phone. It's a treasure in your phone. You have the word of God, which you've already begun. So let him come and transform you some more. Because the entrance of his word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Go ahead and just be simple. With respect to the word of God, just be simple. Don't skip over a bunch of stuff. "Oh, I know that." No, you don't know anything. You don't know that. I don't know that. I start over. Every day I start over. God, tell me something. Because I might have misinterpreted something. I might have connected A to C and skipped B. Let the Holy Spirit do that. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions have to be converted from the knowledge and the wisdom of this world to the knowledge and wisdom of the kingdom of God by which you live in this world. "The testing of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So there's testing. There's testing in this body and in this mind. That's discipleship. Chair 5, as we call it. Is that having walked in faith and then allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to transform and change you from one degree of glory to the next. You're changed from wickedness to righteousness. From anger to love. From turmoil to peace. From fear to faith. Just by allowing the Word of God to settle in, to be planted in you. The Word of God is planted in you and it changes you. It'll change you. I'm just go by my testimony. God will change you. You need peace? You need faith? You need, get in the Word of God. Let it happen. Faith cometh by, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So hearing comes by the Word of God. All right. Look at verse 131. "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." I opened my mouth and panted. Psalm 42, which we know well. "As the hart," or the deer, "panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." You want to know what your soul's wanting? You don't know what it wants, but you know it wants something. Your soul is panting after the Word of God. "I just don't know what I want, but I want something. So I'll check everything. I'll find it. I'll try everything." Well, God's going to give you a head start. He says your soul is panting for the Word of God, which is the promises of God, the covenant. He created a covenant. He gave to you. And so that's what your heart is longing for. Your heart is longing for everything, and everything comes with that. Romans 8:32 says, how shall he not, the Father, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? So with Jesus, you get everything else. With Jesus, you just get everything. Whew, boy, I can sit down and rest now. I got everything. Once I got Jesus, I got everything. Well, I don't seem to have everything. Well, quit looking. He's already covered you. He's going to handle everything. He's handling everything. So as the deer pants for the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As I come into His promise and receive His covenant and receive His word, He's transforming and changing me. All of the things that I am wanting and desiring from the heart and from the soul, He's giving me peace. I don't need near the things I used to need. Because I know that, no, I may still need them. But my needer is not driving me. My needer is not driving me. My rest is carrying me. I'm resting. And you don't have to be old to do that. I got it actually a long time ago. Rest carries me. Because I'm not in distress. I'm not in despair. I know that everything that I have need of, everything that God promised, every covenant that He made, He is going to fulfill it. It's not something I've got to fulfill. It's not something I've got to make happen. I just follow Him. I keep His testimonies. Keep His word. That is, observe it. Guard it. That's what the word means. Observe and guard. Keep is valuable. Like I handed Raul that little piece of paper and said, here, guard this. Keep this. Hold this. Make sure it doesn't get away from you. This is important. See, that's God's word. So you read it and you meditate on it. And you make that your meditation. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 119, verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me as thou used to do unto those that and to those who love thy name. Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, like we sang this morning, because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So he says, Lord, look upon me. So you're crying out to God. Say, look upon me. And be merciful to me, as thou used to do. David's like, well, you used to be merciful upon me. But see, God begins to, He works on the inside of you. And sometimes it appears like, you know, well, where is He? Well, He's working. He's continually working in you. Because you love His name. Because you love His name. Again, Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. So let's do that. Hallelujah. So rather than look at what doesn't appear to be, let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. So I'm going to rejoice. Philippians said, rejoice in the 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting Him because what He promised, He's able to perform. I'm loving this. I'm loving this because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not distressed anymore. I'm not without peace. And where did I get it? I got it from this. I got it from this Word of God. I got it from His promises. You can't get it any other place. You can't get it from a self-help book. You have to get it from, I'll tell you where you have to get it. You have to get it from the Word after having been filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, after having been born from above. After having been born from above. And then He commands you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can receive everything that God has for you. Amen? It's important. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So I'm walking in it. I want you to walk in it. Well, can I do it some other way? Well, I wish you could. I wish you could, but the only other option is just walk in the world and just kind of stumble and trip and cut yourself, and you're still not going to get what you're looking for. There's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, looking for all kinds of satisfaction, but you're never going to get it. And you're never going to get it. And besides that, if you did, you're just going to die and go to hell. You'll never be in the presence of God. And God's given you an opportunity to live in His presence for eternity. That's what you want. Otherwise, 70 years of, you know, mediocre bliss is kind of... And then living outside the presence of God for eternity is just not an appealing offer. Amen. Look at Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in Thy word. Order my steps in Thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. Order my steps in Thy word. So, God, order my steps in Your word. Don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. The good man is the man who's born from above, who's trusted in the Scriptures. And he delights in His way. You delight in the way of the Lord. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, if you were under the law, sin would still have dominion over you. It just shows you you're still sinning. Well, I'm going to try to not sin anymore. I'm going to try to do the law. No, God already said that doesn't work. Read Galatians, you can find out that doesn't work. But here in Romans chapter 6, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You thought sin had dominion over you, didn't you? It's a lie. Sin does not have the rule over you. It's over. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So you have to understand what it is to be under grace. Under grace is that God comes in and He takes you out from under sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. Now quit looking in the mirror and trying to figure that one out. Or quit looking at your daily log and say, well, I did this again, and I did that again. No. How about just wake up every morning and say, sin doesn't have dominion over me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Jesus is working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And with Him, everything is going my way. Hallelujah. Everything is going my way. Then when things don't go your way, you say things are going my way. When things appear to not go your way, you're still saying they're going your way. Is that because you're an idiot? No, it's because you believe God. Because you believe that God is bigger than your circumstances. Hallelujah. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the world. Because the world looks at him and goes, boy, that's stupid, I would never do that. That's because you don't know God. And you don't know the power of God. And you don't know the glory of God. And you don't know the wisdom of God. The things of the world are foolishness things of the kingdom of God, sorry, are foolishness to the world. But we're brand new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Something that's never, ever existed before. It's like not new, like, you know, the next new one. No, it's new having never been existed in existence before. You are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new with respect to you. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So sin doesn't have dominion over me because I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm not under behave yourself. I'm under God's already behaving in me. God's in me to will and to do. He's changed my willer and my doer. Amen? I mean, I don't even want the things that I used to want from the heart. Now, my soul comes up with all kinds of nonsense. But do I pay attention to that? No. My soul is an idiot. My soul was raised up in this world. My soul knows how to punch back when I get punched. The soul knows how to live in this world. But my soul is being changed and transformed. 134 says, verse 134 says, deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Again, the word keep, hold in value. Keep his precepts. His testimonies, his precepts, his word, his commands. Meditate on those things. So deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. So he's my deliverer. I'm not my deliverer, he is. Luke 1:74. Zechariah says this, he's the father of John the Baptist. He prophesied before John was born, just there in the temple. He said that God would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. In Luke 1:74 and 75. So he is going to grant us that we, being delivered, we are being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Psalm 56:13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living? So he saved my, he's saved my soul from death by causing me to become born again. This is in the Psalms. He's caused me to be delivered from death. Will he not also keep my feet from falling? Sounds like Romans 8:32. With him we get everything. So he's delivered my soul from death. Will he not also keep my feet from falling, that I may live in the land of the living? So that's good for now. That's good for now. He's delivered me. He's going to keep my feet from falling tomorrow. He's going to keep my feet from falling next week, as I keep his testimonies. The entrance of his word giveth light. 135. Psalm 119:135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Why, as his face shines upon you, he's teaching you his statutes. Statutes. What we're familiar with is the blessing in Numbers 6:25, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. That was the blessing that was commanded on God's people in the Old Testament. That the Lord would make his face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts. So that shining now has shined in our hearts. The Lord has shined upon you. So the blessing of the Old Testament, the Aaronic blessing, has now come true for us. It's been made manifest in us, but it shines in our hearts. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? Where does it come from? The face of Jesus Christ. So his face. So when he says he causes his face to shine upon us, it's the face of Jesus. It's the face of Jesus. Face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that one again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Remember the scripture we read in 2 Peter? Is that light? You see that light? Oh, you take heed to that light because it's going to transform you. So you take heed and pay attention to that light. What light? This word. A promise. These are promises. Wouldn't you like to have a promissory note for $100,000? Or $1,000,000? This is it. This is your promissory. And it comes when Jesus died. Well, oh my gosh, he's already died. Then he rose again. And he's his own testator. He's his own estate keeper. He's the Lord of the estate. So therefore, he makes sure that you get the inheritance. I'm the executor for my parents' estate. I make sure everybody gets everything properly. Jesus rose again to make sure that his testament got delivered to all the heirs. How many heirs are here? Me. Whew, I get it all. Glory to God. Do y'all want any? How many heirs do we have here? Hallelujah. See, it's good to raise your hand and thank God you're an heir. Amen.
Amen.
I'm an heir.
Amen.
Are you not an heir?
We are heirs.
Are you not an heir? Come on. Hey, heir to mom.
Glory.
She's got a little bit. Praise the Lord. But Jesus got more. Jesus got more than my mom. My mom, she's okay. But Jesus got more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm an heir. I'm an heir of everything that's in here. I'm an heir of everything that's in here, glory to God. God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I want the knowledge of the glory of God. You know how you get it? In the Word. And you meditate on it. And it's changing you. It changes you. It changes your dumb mind to a smart mind. It changes your ignorant mind to a learned mind. Because you learn everything that has to do with the kingdom of heaven. I walk into a doctor's office. That doctor, I got something from a doctor the other day. And I tried to read it. I couldn't read that thing. It didn't have one word in there that I understood except and, the, and but. Every word in there was some technical word of cirrhosis and celiacus. And I mean, it was like reading Greek or Hebrew. And I can read some of that, but this I could not read. But he gives me understanding. He shined in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus. So he's giving me understanding, in short. In short, he's giving me understanding where I didn't have any understanding. That thing was the weirdest looking document. It was the craziest thing. I just could not read what I thought. Oh, I'll just. Can you give me a copy of that in the office? You know, something messing up in my foot. You know, and they took an X-ray and they were describing what they were seeing. There's nothing in that document that I could even understand what they were talking about. I couldn't make out what was wrong with my foot. Craziest thing in the world, don't you? See, they work up their own language so they can get paid a lot of money to interpret it for you. Jesus will do it for free. Hallelujah. I'm just believing he'll heal my foot instead.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:15 says, that you may be blameless and harmless. Oh, it's good for you to be harmless. The sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's who you are. So you're going to be blameless and harmless, who are the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, you're walking holy. But it's not something you did, it's something God did. Among whom, the world, you shine. You shine. As lights holding forth the word of life. Finally, verse 136. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Talking about his brethren. Talking about the wicked. This is the king. This is David. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Romans 9:23, Paul says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. That's a big one. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It's because they were his kinsmen, the Jews were rejecting the salvation that comes through Jesus. So David had the same fear and sorrow and dread that those around him were skipping this blessing. The entrance of your word giveth light. As believers, we have the same love of God for the lost. Jesus said in Luke 19:41, and when he was, or the Gospel of Luke says, and when he was come near Jerusalem, he beheld the city and he wept over it because they had rejected him, because they had rejected not just him as in his person, but who he represented was the love of the Father. The light that the word brings, that the entrance of the word brings, is the gospel, which transforms and changes us and gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, makes us partakers of the divine nature, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. So here, our hearts weep for the lost. And you don't have that until that light shines in your heart. You don't have that love for the world until you're walking daily with the Lord, hearing his word, hearing his promise, and seeing that there are those who are... I mean, don't you feel that way? Don't, for your friends or for your family members or, you know, for your kids, for your parents who may not know the Lord. And you're crying and you're... It's because you want them to know the Lord the same way that you do. You want them to know the promise of God and the love of God. And so, this is how this word comes in. Because the entrance of your word giveth light. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. That's our first verse today, Psalm 119, verse 129. So, you want your soul to keep those promises, to keep his testimonies. So, we're taking this section by section to let the importance of the Word of God according to God change us and transform us and cause us to hear his love for us by what he has provided for me is his Word. And his promise. And then he provided it for me so that I could see it and receive it. We have it more accessible today than ever before. This accessibility just started. Just the printed version that we have started 500 years ago. Less than 500 years. Imagine that. Imagine not having the Word of God you could just pick up off your shelf. Imagine that. Look what you have today. More than ever before. more than ever before. I know it's long. I know it's a lot of scripture.
Awesome.
But we're bringing the scripture. It's important to pull the scripture together.
Amen.
It's important to pull the scripture together. You can use a Bible program. It'll help you. Like, I use Blue Letter Bible. Really easy. There's others. But what you can do is help you just go through and just, you know, you can do word study. You can just find things easily to help you dig into the promises, dig into the Word of God. I would encourage you to do that. Don't let your pastor do it. You do it. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, you can do it every day. You don't come here every day. Amen? Oh, Father, we just praise you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I just pray, Lord God, that somebody received a blessing today. Somebody received wisdom and knowledge in the face of Jesus Christ today. I thank you, Lord God, that you would just lead each one of us to receive your word and guard it, keep it. Make it your joy. Make it your treasure. And let it do its own work. And we just give you the praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. You got my piece of paper?
Hmm?
Little piece of paper I give you?
I put it in my heart.
So you put it in your heart?
When it comes out.
It's all sweaty.
It can be a blessing.
It's all sweaty. I got a little shark at the house. I got a little shark at the house. Some people call it a Roomba. You know, one of the little vacuum things. And it runs and does. It just runs and does the floor. It just sweeps the floor. It runs all over the house and sweeps and vacuums and everything else. So I put a shark in my house and it just cleans my house. See, I put the Word of God in me and it just cleans my house.
Amen.
And it changes me and makes me new. Amen. I just thought of that. I don't know. It may not help you, but it helps me. I'll just say something that helps me. So I got my shark and I put it in the house. I didn't even get the brand name. I didn't even get a Roomba. I got a shark. But I got the Word of God and I put it in my house. And it runs all over the house. And sometimes it spends a lot of time in some places. Talking about the Word of God. I'm going to talk about the Roomba. The shark. And it cleans and cleans. And sometimes I don't see it for about an hour and a half, the little shark, because it's cleaning and it's getting underneath in hidden places. Did you know that the Word of God will get underneath and in hidden places? It'll get on the inside of you and it'll just, you know, and change you. But the changes, it's going to make you happy. It's going to make me happy. There are a lot of things that I need changed because although I'm not happy. I don't even know I'm not happy, which is the funny thing, you know. All kinds of things going on in your body and they may not be happy. But the Word of God comes on the inside of you and changes you. Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So just let it run around. Just say, go. How do you do that? But you got to get it in there. You got to put it in there. You put the Word in you. And it'll run around and it'll go all over you in every nook and cranny. The entrance of His Word giveth
light.
Amen.